I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to episode 297 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, December 13th, 2017, and my name is Dan Gorman, and boy, I tell you, they only come out at night, or in this case, the daytime.
My name is Casey Lyons, and why do you have like a flap over your gonker? Are you afraid someone's going to bonk your boinker?
My name's Greg LeGros, so once again we find that evil of the past seeps into the present like salad dressing through cheap wax paper, mixing memory and desire.
Oh man, good. We have lots of stuff to talk about this week. I had to watch Rhapsody Kids Christmas, whatever it was called,
yes.
And I lived to tell the tale.
Yes.
Did you?
We will talk about the new U2 album. We're not rolling for movies this week because we're all going to see Star Wars, but we will roll for Punishment Film. And punishment films. And we'll talk about tons of other stuff. But if you would like to let us know what you think of the show, give us feedback, you can email us at info@modernsuperior.com. You can rate and review us on iTunes. You can go to Facebook and SYNWPC on Twitter, and you'll find us all there. And modernsuperior.com is where you can go to pledge to our Patreon to get the bonus episodes and access to our Slack. We'll have some bonus stuff over the break. You're going to want to be in there. So
get in there.
All right.
Get in there.
Christmas time.
Yeah.
Christmas time.
Getting close.
It's very close.
Getting close. Yeah. It finally snowed here.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It snowed a bunch of times.
Totally.
All at once.
I like it.
Yeah. It's nice.
I love it now.
Yeah.
Except when it's in the middle of snowing all over everywhere and you have to drive all over the place.
Yes. Yeah. I drove.
I drove all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the road.
Have you done any skidding around yet?
I did a little.
I did a certain amount of skidding around.
I got a little
less
like,
fun when you have your children in the car.
Yeah, that's no good. Uh-huh. I got a little like trailer of our snow
because
I was in Stratford, Ontario on Sunday and it snowed like a motherfucker out there.
Oh.
And it wasn't too bad when I got to Stratford, but when I was leaving it was very bad. And I turned down this like quiet, quaint little street and was like, I'm about to go sideways.
Yeah.
But was it okay
because the street was so quaint that you had to sing it?
Yeah.
I'm about to go sideways. La, 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 la. But you generally turn down side streets, you think like less traffic, safer. Because
yeah,
I did the exact same thing. It had just snowed that day. I'm driving around at night and I go down a side street and I'm thinking like, well, I'm safe now. And then I was like,
vroom. Yeah.
Like, oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. I was crossing Bloor to just north of Bloor on Royal York, and is like, okay, well, at least I'm across Bloor, so
yeah.
That's the big crazy, and then all of a sudden, I'm on every road at once!
I also had a very poor driving experience because I rented a car, and the car I rented has Bluetooth technology.
Okay.
And tricked me into thinking it would all be fine.
Yeah.
So I left the house without my auxiliary cable.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And then...
Don't do that.
And then every time I turned off the car, it disconnected my phone from the... And I then eventually was like, no, you can't have your phone. So I couldn't listen to music for my two-hour fucking drive.
Nope.
I was so mad.
No.
I was unbelievably mad.
Well, you can listen to it just on your phone, but
it sounds like shit,
man. Yeah, sounds like it's amazing how shitty that sounds when you're in a car.
And it just made me madder. And I knew I was being unreasonably mad, but I just could not stop.
Yeah.
It's not unreasonable.
Those Bluetooth things, I've been in cars where somebody else was driving and we wanted to listen to music and it was like, oh, well, I guess we'll pair up the phone. And it's like, no, because you're driving and that's dangerous. And I'm like, but I'm not driving.
Yeah.
Let me pair.
Oh, I had a I I drove a company car up to Michigan, and it had that situation. And it was the fucking best. I was creating tension there.
Yeah.
It was the fucking best. It like paired up no problem, and then it was nice. Like every time I went in the car, it was like, I assume you want to listen to a podcast. There you go.
Nice.
And I was like, you know what? You're right, car.
Yeah.
I generally, they've been okay, but I found I've frequently had trouble with Fords.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Fuck you, Ford.
Yeah.
Fuck you, America.
Yeah. Built like a rock. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the slogan at all.
Check out my rock.
Yeah.
Ford trucks.
Solid built, as a
built
stone
like a rock.
Wall, baby.
Oh,
man.
You're the best marketing guy I know.
All right, time for new news and movies that we have been watching, a.k.a. the Itty Bitty Tidbit Committee, a.k.a. New News.
Yeah. Tell me this.
What?
How much I've seen like some confirmation from less reputable news sources that seemed a little like, I don't know, like Facebook links. I'm like, I don't want to touch that.
Yeah.
And then, so I know there's all kinds of talk about the Disney-Fox merger. And then it seems like that shit's happening. Does anyone,
seems
do you guys
like
know?
I've seen a headline here or there.
And
there's just a lot of what it could mean specifically for the Marvel Universe.
Well, that's all anyone cares about. That's that puts the X-Men into the Avengers world. Okay.
Well,
so that's interesting. And everyone's like, well, that means Hugh Jackman can be Wolverine again and fucking be
and
in
Hugh
the
Jackman
Avengers movies.
Was like, no.
No, he was like, I'll do it. He was
really?
Like, that's the only way he would. The only thing
the only thing I read was that he was like, no.
For everything else. But the thing he said was the only thing that would make him do Wolverine again is if he could be Wolverine in an Avengers movie.
Wow.
But at the same time, I'm like, but don't do that.
Yeah.
Because ended perfectly. Logan was so great.
Yeah.
And it capped that thing. And honestly, it's just, and I love him as Wolverine. I have no problem with Jackman's work as the character, but it's that you have to start over. And if you can finally get a Wolverine that's maybe a little more
young,
like Wolverine.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not 6'2".
Yeah. Just a little Ed Asner in his heyday looking guy.
Sure.
that literally is what I pictured. Like when I picture what the actual like short stout Wolverine looks like, I picture Ed Asner as a young man.
Who was that? Was it James Cameron or something who wanted Bob Hoskins way, way, way back?
Which would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's actually not bad. Now, granted, Wolverine's ripped, but I'd like to see something a little closer to the comics and the suit. I think they might do the suit then.
Yeah.
Marvel seems to
the
be
yellow
able to
suit.
Silly
head suit.
Listen. Fuck the yellow and blue suit. It's the garbage suit. I don't know why they brought it back when clearly brown and tan is the way to go.
Okay.
It's far superior. Everyone knows I'm right, even the people who think I'm wrong. The yellow and blue is fucking terrible.
It's going to say that on your tombstone, by the way.
Everyone knows I'm right.
Even the people who think I'm wrong.
Does that come from the comic or the
animated? He started off with the yellow and blue, and the mask was very silly.
Okay.
And then the mask got better.
Yeah.
And then they made the switch. As comics were getting darker and the X-Men got particularly dark, they switched up his costume to the brown and tan. And it was like that for like 15, almost 20 years. And then the 90s happened, and the 90s are like, we like weird colors. And we were back into the fucking...
Remember how the 90s were Tommy Chong?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Not in the time, man.
Yeah.
And then they went back to the blue and yellow, and I kept on waiting, like, okay, I get it. Like, it's like when a football team wears their retro jersey. I'm like, let's get this fucking shit over with. And then never. I don't know, like the stupid storyline with Wolverine's son, Dakin, he wears it. I'm like, fuck you. Sorry, I really feel passionate about the brown and tan suit. So I would like, and it would work much better on camera. And you, even if you like the blue and yellow more, you know that's correct.
Yeah.
So. Coffee's really good.
Yeah. Isn't also though like this Disney Fox thing like kind of freaky that like these two huge companies are gonna like take everything over.
Disney's just going to own everything, yeah. Which is really fucking... I mean, granted, they're doing really nice stuff with it, so who am I to complain? Like, all the Marvel stuff has been terrific, mm-hmm. and Star Wars restarted and great, and thank you for that. So I'm not going to worry about it until it gets terrifying.
I'm not going to worry about it until it ruins the world, I'm going to be like, I had a feeling.
Well, this the
well,
top...
I was watching the last 38 Star Wars movies.
The top three stories here, when I Googled it, one of them is saying that Donald Trump could come out a real winner for this deal somehow.
Oh.
I don't know how, but
it wouldn't surprise me at all. The worst people in the whole wide world.
I assume that means more money for him. Not that he'll play Wolverine. So whatever.
I just thought about that.
Yeah.
Circle back on some news from last week. We talked about Quentin Tarantino's Star Trek movie. Just a quick note that Patrick Stewart said that he would be down for that.
Yeah.
And he said it was one of his dreams to work with Tarantino.
And I would like to see that.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart in a Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
Did you see other stuff that was talked about it? First of all,
no.
It's
Hard R.
Hard R.
What?
Hard R.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't understand at all. But
whatever. He's assembling a writer's room and name, who cares? Until one name came across is Megan Amram.
Oh, yeah.
Is being talked about to write on Quentin Tarantino's Star Trek movie.
Would be amazing.
Oh, my head is exploding.
Yeah, we are definitely in the Matrix and everything's gone viral.
That would be so good.
Everything about that is just
what is
like,
happening?
I don't understand what's going on, but I love this so much.
Yeah.
Because Megan Amram is genuinely one of the funniest people to have ever existed.
And she did some writing on The Good Place, right?
I believe. Yeah, I think she wrote for The Good Place. She's written for a lot of stuff like Parks and Rec. And she's written on a ton of stuff.
Totally.
And also super is funny. One of the funniest people of all time.
Yeah. So there you go. That could be something. Star Trek with all these amazing people attached.
Yeah.
You never know.
I don't know. I mean... I don't think that's what would happen because I don't think he's... I can't imagine how Tarantino's talked about Star Trek that he would be doing a Next Generation movie, but fucking who knows?
Yeah.
But because I don't think there would be a Jean-Luc Picard in there, but at the same time, if I got to see a little bit more Picard, boy, that would be great.
Totally.
Because clearly, best captain.
Star Trek news again. Is
Captain
Simon
Crunch.
Kinberg producing
Boba
Fett spinoff movie?
Boba Fett
this
movie?
This is a rumor.
As long as it disregards all that dumb shit.
Yeah,
that stuff's
gotta go.
Yeah.
Jango Fett.
Wait, why does it say Josh Trank?
So he was hired to direct one at one point, and then the whole thing happened with Fantastic Four.
Right, and they were like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't want to hire him to direct my Arby's burger.
I maintain that movie's not as bad as people say, and I think...
What movie?
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
I thought it was fun.
I think it really sucks at the end, but there's a lot in the journey to the end of it that could be good.
Why don't you suck at my end?
Yeah.
What? It's not a good movie.
I think it's good
it's
up to
fun.
A point.
Yeah.
Do
and
you?
I, and
Would
I think
you're going to watch it again?
I will watch it again 100%.
Okay. I might.
I think it really...
I likely won't.
It really blows it at the end.
Yeah.
It sucks it and then it blows it. But I think he got like all the flack and I think sure he probably was a shithead while he's
I'm
making
sure
the movie.
Probably.
But it's
then,
also...
It looked like there was a lot of meddling going on.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was like a really boring movie. Then that got very dumb and bad.
It got really dumb.
Oh, I think it was... To be fair, I think it was dumb and bad throughout. But my expectations were so low. When I watched it, I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
All right, then.
I just think, like, I want to see the movie it was supposed to be.
Sure.
Yeah.
The only, and you know what? Most of it has, like, gone away in my mind. The only thing I remember is when the thing is, like, in a cell.
Yeah.
And Mr. Fantastic is sneaking out.
Yeah.
And he's in a vent above him, but he's totally naked in that vent. And
oh,
he's
yeah.
talking to him. And the grates in the vent are quite wide.
Yeah.
So he can clearly see, like, hey, Reed, you're up there. And he's like, I'm getting out of here. I'm all stretchy. And he goes, like, but then he has to keep crawling across that thing. So he totally, like...
if the grates are wide, his
dick might drag on it.
Wiener's going like... Blah, 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 blah.
Go, take me with... Whoa!
Oh, never mind.
Why? I can stretch it!
Yeah.
Do you think... Could you pull me up with that thing?
Yeah.
Help me out here. That's my takeaway on Fantastic Four.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe a Boba Fett movie.
Yeah.
You never know.
Maybe.
You never know.
What we're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't really care because I'm so turned. There's too much. Listen, Boba Fett, super cool character design. Like,
yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great ship. There's not a lot really there except for like the action figure was dynamite. And there's been too much of Boba Fett, like,
yeah.
Because I mean, the only other story we have is really not very good. Or it wasn't well handled.
It's not a lot of fun, and who cares? And yeah, like I didn't care to see him as a child, but
no,
also
definitely not.
I don't care to see him any more than standing around a bit, flying around a bit, and then getting eaten by the Sarlacc.
Sure.
I think the idea of the new Star Wars sets of films having spin-off films for characters is maybe not the way to go. And
no.
I think most people think that. I don't think that's some kind of crazy
statement. He's a fucking support guy.
Yeah.
It's a super dynamite costume, don't get me wrong, but it's fucking, he's a very good support villain.
I don't need a standalone movie about chewed up bubblegum head from the bar, from the cantina, but he's dope.
Yeah,
I like
sure.
looking at his weird head when 100%. It shows
up. But even the new movies, they're at their best when it's like embracing the whole point of Star Wars, which is like all these characters coming together and going on their adventure. Like even, I know Rogue One, for some people was less than others. Some people didn't like it as much. I think most people liked it a bit.
Some people on this couch.
But
I will still watch it 80 more times before
and
I die.
It when it's working its best is when it's like, all these characters, even when they're off doing their own thing, ultimately working towards the end of the movie, which is ends up being really sad and everyone bites it, but it still feels more like ensemble work. It's like, I don't want one person to be like, I'll have my own movie. It just doesn't feel right to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
No.
Yeah, like, I'm going to be watching this Han Solo movie, and not just because of all of the, you know, crazy bullshit surrounding it, but I'll be watching it as nothing more than a novelty.
I'm hoping that it's the right kind of meddling with that movie. I'm hoping that, like, Miller and Lord put in, like, a bunch of really funny work, and then that Ron Howard came in and was like, well, I know how movies work, so I'll take the funny foundation and make a good movie out of it.
Yeah, which maybe very well.
You never know.
Yeah. But it was one of the things like, we don't need this.
Yeah.
An Obi-Wan movie I'm into.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, him. There's open areas there. I'm interested. In, you know. Anyway,
well, speaking of comic book stuff, earlier there's a Venom movie that is happening, and they are saying that it's going to be based on two of the comic book stories, Lethal Protector and Planet of the Symbiotes. What's that, Craig?
Are those good? What? Those aren't. I'm not super familiar with those because the Venom stuff got really off the rails for me when he showed up in the comics. He was terrifying, and it was such a good idea.
Yeah,
and there was so much tension there, and it was great. It was just, it was really cool. It's like McFarlane just launching his career and like revamping Spider-Man big time. He changed the eyes and everyone went nuts, including myself. and it was a return to the black costume in a sense, right?
Yeah.
So when he turns up, like the first time you see him, because at that time in the storyline, Peter Parker's married to Mary Jane, and she sees the Spider-Man like, the black suit's back, I guess.
Yeah.
But then realizes that he's just much too big to be Peter.
Okay.
And it's creepy and it's awesome, you know. Anyway. And the character underneath the suit, Eddie Brock, hates Peter, and there's all this drama there, which is great. Then things that, like, he was such an anti, like, people liked Venom so much, they started making him an anti-hero.
Yeah.
And he was, like, protecting the innocent and all this weird stuff, but still, like, a sociopathic murderer.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know.
It
got
like
out of hand. They didn't know what to do with it, and they just did everything with it.
Yeah.
And then all these different people were Venom, and he has guns sometimes, and it's so stupid.
It sounds like from this article.
I don't really. I didn't read these things because when he got into his own stuff, when he was like some sort of vigilante anti-hero thing, I'm like, no, thank you.
It sounds like they're going that route.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen,
more of his existence as a character has been that than as the terrifying, the most terrifying villain that Spider-Man's seen.
Yeah. It says here that the Lethal Protector was from 93, and that was his first time that he became a full-fledged anti-hero.
Yep.
And that he struck a deal with Peter Parker to leave each other alone and went to San Francisco.
Yes.
And then the second one, Planet of Symbiotes, says that it has to do with him teaming up and trying to find some murders that were done by serial killer Cletus Cassidy.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, because they do want to lean into Carnage, and that's, yeah, so that's cool. And if it's not Walton Goggins, then they fucked up.
I'm interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, I hope it says that on your tombstone, too.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm not sure in what context. Yeah,
fair enough. I'm leaving you in charge of my tombstone.
What's that?
I'm leaving you in charge of my tombstone.
Way ahead of you, buddy.
Perfect. Great.
Yeah, the cast, Tom Hardy, Michelle Williams, and Riz Ahmed.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Yeah. But more importantly, Jenny Slate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very curious about this.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then to go even what?
Yeah. Just speaking of this world.
Yeah.
There was also a trailer that dropped for the animated Spider-Man movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what? Into the Spider-Verse, I guess, is the subtitle on it. Which is the Miles Morales Spider-Man universe.
Yeah.
Which I guess you guys probably don't know too much about. That's
not a lot.
It's an alternate universe where Peter Parker dies and he passes on the mantle of Spider-Man to his kid, Miles Morales, who has very similar powers. But there's also a bunch of other spider people. The trailer is fucking dynamite.
Yeah, the trailer was cool.
Miles Morales is a huge fan favorite. Like, they did all these like other, you know, alternate universe things that were like fine.
Yeah.
But none of them were like as big as what Miles Morales has become.
Yeah.
Because it's great. The writing was good. It was an awesome multicultural cast. And the suit looks fucking dynamite.
Yeah.
So it's cool they're doing that. And the
animation looks fucking
Yeah, awesome. There's an interesting.
It's unique. It's the best looking Marvel anime I've ever seen. And because there's all of these different characters that kind of dabble around with the Spider-Man power, you know, whatever. Although Miles has a different kind of thing going on than Peter. He's got some different stuff.
Yeah.
I don't really get into. But there's all these cool, you know, there's Spider-Woman, and Spider-Gwen is a fucking dynamite character. The design of her costume is fucking amazing. So I don't know if it gets into that stuff. I have no idea, but the trailer is fucking terrific.
And there's an interesting thing with the trailer where in certain shots of the trailer, the animation is extremely fluid.
Yeah.
But there's other shots, like at the end, that we had it here on the background for the listeners, when he takes his mask off, and you can tell that they're kind of doing a little bit of a like stuttery frame rate thing where it almost looks like stop motion style. Yeah. It's all 3D, but like they're definitely doing some very like stylistic choices to make it look interesting, even like in the small things. And The whole trailer is just fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew nothing about it, that it was even coming, until it was posted by Peter Zuma in the thread on Slack. And I was like, holy shit, this looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Totally. Good for thinking that. I forgot that even happened.
Good for me.
Yeah. Good for bringing that up.
Good for you.
Yes. It's worthwhile to be excited about.
Yeah. Going even further down the nerd hole, and coming all the way back out. Did you guys watch the trailer for Ready Player One?
Yeah, the new trailer,
the newest.
Yep.
What do you guys think of this?
I recognize some of those things.
Hey. Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Yeah. Yep. I'm sure it'll be basically fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm of the mind.
I liked
of
when
like,
they used the Rush song more than the Van Halen song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the last teaser or whatever.
Yep. That's my takeaway.
Yeah. I see, like, people went really...
That's where I am in my life now, man. I like Tom Sawyer more than Jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, people love that book, and I don't know much about it, and I read some reviews and stuff, but I didn't know a lot about what it was, the kind of book it was, until I started seeing the trailers and asking people. Mm. Like, my brother read it, and I'm asking
it's like
him about
references
it.
And,
And... Yeah.
What was your brother's takeaway from it?
Oh, he really liked the book.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people do. And I just watched the trailer and I think, okay, I really hope that this is fun in a Spielberg way.
Yeah.
But well, I don't know what to think of it yet.
Yeah, no. Well, I don't know. I mean, we have a little more idea of plot now.
Yeah.
Get the Easter egg.
Gotta get the... It's, that's so weird. Yeah. I don't want to watch a movie about finding an Easter egg in a VR world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's got, yeah, I don't know. Avatars and junk and...
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well, fine. You're going to have another Iron Giant and maybe he'll make me cry. But whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yep.
Whatever did you guys watch this week?
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
Mm. Jeez, let me think. I don't even remember. I know I saw things.
I've been doing some Christmas cramming.
I've been mainly we've been watching because we need very compartmentalized entertainment right
now.
Yeah, sure.
Mainly we've been watching seasons 3 and 4 of Broad City.
Mm. Nice.
And I can't believe how great that show is.
Mm. So
blows
good.
My mind how good that show is. So consistently funny and interesting and fun and amazing. I did watch one thing.
What?
Movie-wise.
Yeah.
That I thought would be interesting to talk
okay.
about. Polar Express.
Hmm. Oh, I don't know.
I've never seen that.
Go, yeah, no.
And I saw that it
I
was...
I thought I had started it. I was thinking of something else.
It's playing at the Cinesphere right now.
Oh.
Down at Ontario Place.
Is that right?
Yeah. Hmm. I've never seen it.
No.
No, I just saw it in my own regular sphere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and?
And you know how everybody's got a big problem with it because... You know, it's all like the dead-eyed Tom Hanks and everything. That's everybody's major problem with it. Mm. They're right. Because it's...
Yeah.
Like, on one hand, it's this thing where it's like kind of, you know, fun and magical.
Mm,
and,
yeah.
And you're like, there's some interesting things.
I didn't understand his obsession, Zemeckis' obsession with that process. Because he made a couple movies like that, Beowulf, and they did Monster House with it, and that worked in Monster House. I love Monster House. I feel like that's
Beowulf
the only
was
one
weird.
That
it had moments that were amazing.
Like you can't have it trying to be as realistic as possible. Monster House makes it cartoony, and then it kind of works.
Yeah, where this one sort of does that a little bit, but for the most part, it's just. It really is kind of funny because there's this big song and dance number about hot chocolate.
Oh, no.
At one point.
This and like about the like band Hot Chocolate?
I want to see.
It's an in-depth history of the band and each member.
Good.
And it's they're singing and dancing around, and it's like tappity-tappity dancing around and all this wonderful you know, spectacle and everything. But everybody's face is like, it is like these this big, fantastical, undead, like, we're tap dancing, we got hot chocolates, we're going to eat your soul. It is the weirdest thing. So, I was distracted by that the whole time.
Yeah, I don't think they'll watch that. Casey, speaking of Christmas and Casey, I watched a Casey Christmas pick from last year.
Oh,
boy.
I waited all year to watch it. last year, or maybe it was the year before, I'm not 100% sure, but you watched Arthur Christmas.
And actually started to watch it again at a point before my daughter decided it was better if we chased her around for a while.
Yeah, and I never watched this, and I think we talked about it at the time, because I thought it was a sequel in name, because I didn't even see any images from this until you talked about it, to those Luc Besson Arthur movies, which are those weird animated movies he did about the weird-looking like kid named Arthur and goes on adventures to
space. I feel like I still think that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad I finally got to it. It's on Netflix right now in Canada, so there's no reason not to. And that's a very delightful movie.
Just a real fun,
good,
sweet, funny,
and,
sweet movie.
And I was very excited because it's Aardman who do all the really great stop motion stuff.
And
Chicken Run and all that.
Hard Aardman.
Hard Aardman. But it is also Sony Pictures Animation. So you kind of get like, if you're going into Arthur Christmas kind of hoping that it's going to be as funny as an Aardman movie, you'll probably be a little disappointed. But if you go in expecting like it's going to be better than your average, like it's DreamWorks or Sony, you know, Ice Age movies and stuff, like it's definitely better than that. It's got a fun, charming little world to it. And
a hell of a cast.
And a great cast.
Jim
and
Broadbent, Hugh Laurie, James McAvoy, who I'm just on board with now.
Yeah.
He's very good.
And I like that it's very much like a quest movie. You know, it's about Arthur and he's trying to get the last present to the last kid who's been missed so that this one kid won't think that Santa, you know, didn't think of her.
Yeah.
And it has this real big scale to it, but like it's nice that the movie also scales down to it just being about, like, Arthur just really wants this kid to be happy. And that allows the movie to be, like, emotional at the ending.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, some of it along the way isn't as funny as other stuff. But it's very...
But it's always watchable. It's totally... It's very sweet.
And it's very sweet, very fun. Yeah.
And it's really, really cool that such a specific... part of Toronto,
yeah,
is in the movie. Like,
I know.
Like,
I was like, "Is this Toronto?" And then they made reference. I was like, "Why are they on the City Hall?"
But
then,
you're like, "Oh yeah, I'm like straight up going down Queen Street."
Yeah.
On this is definitely Toronto.
Totally. Yeah. It is weird to me that this movie is like, it's not unknown or anything, but I feel like it does get skipped over a little bit. Like, this might not be one I watch every year, but I'll definitely be watching it like every other year, or I'll be
it's
checking in with it.
It's not a movie I'll watch every year, but it is a movie I'll watch every month.
Yeah. Yeah. Arthur Christmas is very charming and enjoyable.
Nice.
And if you haven't watched it yet, you should put it on your list this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very fun.
Good.
Yeah. What else?
I always thought it was a sequel to the Dudley Moore.
Yeah, Arthur.
Yeah.
He's drunk at Christmas.
He's so drunk. He's got a problem.
Yeah. What else? What are things we've been watching?
I saw things.
Mm-hmm.
Real briefly, I you know, trying to find stuff to put on for Zoe on Saturday mornings. And she's like so deep into Peppa madness.
Yeah.
I'm trying to just like veer off into anything else to see if just it's out of curiosity to see if she likes it. I really don't mind Peppa, so it's not that.
Yeah.
So I put on Moana for her.
Oh,
boy, that is a fucking great movie.
Boy, it's just so good.
It's so good.
Man, I like that movie.
It's great.
Like a lot. And it looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Holy fuck. Yeah. So, yeah, really good.
Nice.
And she really likes 40 minutes of it and then wants to run around.
Oh, just like me.
Yeah.
And,
I have that
problem
too.
I like it till you get to Jemaine Clement and you're like, hey, he's really great. And I'm like... I don't know what's going on over here.
I love that scene though. It looks so good.
So good.
And it goes into the blacklight stuff.
And I love that song. The production of that
song
is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a couple songs on it. There's like this one that you know tells the tale of their ancestors or something.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
like sounds a little like a Peter Gabriel song sometimes.
Sure.
That song's fucking dope.
Yeah.
Nice. And then The Rock is fantastic.
Yeah, everybody's really good in it. All the voice works great.
Yeah, super.
Yeah,
yeah, that girl
nice
is phenomenal.
She's really, really good.
Yeah, her voice is insane.
Yeah, they put out one of those, like, I don't know if it was like a pre-movie thing or if they were doing it on YouTube before you watched a movie, but where they like talked about how they cast her and how it was like one of those things where like she had never done any acting before or whatever, the voice actress.
Oh,
and it was just like amazing, inspiring. There was like, I think they had audio or video of her like realizing she was cast in the Disney movie and like crying, and then I was crying. It was just like one of those really well put together, like, we're going to make you cry and I haven't watched the movie yet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. And the grandmother is played by Rachel House, and she is fucking hilarious. You guys have both seen Hunt for the Wilder People, right?
Oh, yeah.
No.
She's
so good.
Oh, no? Oh,
no.
Dude, you've got to see that movie. It's so
love
good.
Love it.
Right.
Yeah.
Love it. Sam Neill?
Sam Neill, a child.
Yes.
Everyone.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Moana.
So anyway, that's a little... Anyway, yeah. Moana... And another, then I'll do another brief one because I just don't really know what to say.
Yeah.
Athena and I, it was actually a rewatch because we just wanted like easy, no thinking, Christmassy stuff movie. So we watched the equivalent, the Christmas movie equivalent of Steve Carell Sleeps on Pancakes.
Oh.
The Family
Santa Sleeps on Pancakes.
Yeah. The Family Stone.
Okay.
With Sarah Jessica Parker.
There's some
Craig T. Nelson.
Defenders of that movie.
Listen, there's a massive cast.
Yeah.
Luke Wilson, Dermot Mulroney, Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
Claire Danes.
I feel like I saw it at the time and was like, that's okay.
There's like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, like it is okay, but it's really all over the fucking place. Like I can't tell what kind of movie it's supposed to be because some stuff is a little too fucking serious.
Yeah.
And then the other stuff is played like really
so
wacky. But it was like a fine, like, here's a movie with people to watch.
Yeah.
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 Except the thing is, all of the people in the movie, not the actors themselves, but all the characters are not likable.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I don't like any of these people.
Yeah.
And I don't want any nice things for them.
Yeah. I've never seen the movie or much about it or anything, but for some reason, even mention of that movie, I find exhausting.
Sure.
And I don't know why.
It's sort of exhausting. It's really...
Nailed it.
It's really like, I don't know, it's got a real pretentious rich white family vibe.
Yeah.
Oh, good. You know? Well, we don't see enough stories about rich white people.
I know, so. Particularly at Christmas.
Yeah. What? They're not happy.
Like, but I can't say that I had a bad time watching it by any means, because I found some of it so preposterous that I enjoyed it. And there's something about it, like, this is, they really went for this. Or, I don't know what. And also, I'm like, what happened to Luke Wilson?
Yeah.
Where'd he go?
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah. Totally.
Like him so much. He's the best part of the movie. Anyway.
Nice.
Who delivered
the family
bomb?
Stone.
Anyway.
I feel like we need to segue into something else Christmassy.
Yeah, okay.
That you watched, Greg.
Yeah, I did.
That I also watched some of.
You fucking let me down, man.
Yeah, whatever. You were the one who led the charge on
right?
And Greg was like, I'll do it too.
No, it was the opposite.
I went right to sleep.
It was the opposite.
I wouldn't have even looked for this movie.
No,
had you
posted
your thing.
I sent some links saying, hey, the word out there is that Netflix is A Prince for Christmas or whatever the fuck it's called is really crazy.
And you posted that in our Modern Superior thread that's just the three of us. That is typically what we talk about, where we talk about movies and
junk. Yeah, like, hey, check this out. This is wild.
Yeah.
And then you messaged us. You were like, I'm already watching it. And so then I was like, okay, I'll join in. That'll be funny. But then like 45
then
minutes into
like,
it, I was like,
Greg.
No thanks.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to watch Reindeer
Games. You didn't
have
to watch all of it.
I was ahead of you. I'd seen most of it by the time you were like, no, I build on it. I'm watching Reindeer Games.
Then it's not my fault for joining after you and then leaving before you. You did it yourself.
I did.
You know, guys, I always knew it would be a Christmas Prince that tore us all apart.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you the story of the Christmas Prince.
Yeah.
There's a lady, and she looks, I don't know, concerned all the time, or like she might be in a little bit of pain always. and she's a journalist, and she just can't get a big break.
Yeah.
Can't.
No.
Won't. And then she goes to fake England, a place called, I don't know, Eldovia or something, where everyone's British and there's a king and a queen and a prince, and everyone has British accents, but they're not British because, I don't know.
Is it supposed to be a magical place?
No, it's just a place.
It's
like, for reals. Yeah. And he's going to be, and the prince is going to be king, but he's got a real sexy lifestyle.
Yeah, he likes to bang lots of people.
But he's out and he's got a beard and he's unruly. And they're like, is he going to be king or not? Because if he doesn't become king, then it goes to his cousin.
Yeah.
Which... Is this rated R? What is this?
No, it's a Netflix, like, Hallmark
called a Christmas
style
Prince.
Movie.
All right.
Harder.
This prince fucks.
I now declare you fat.
Queen of my dick.
And, So she gets her big chance at a story to go to Eldovia and cover the story of will he or won't he become king.
But here's
king.
The thing. This movie, the preamble of her going on this thing is like 2 seconds.
Yes.
The movie opens and she's like, I work in an office. And then a guy is like, hey, you're going to go do this. And she's like, okay. And then it cuts to her there. And then she goes into the castle and somebody's like, you're not British. You must be... The tutor, and then she's like, I sure am the tutor.
So she's got to pretend to be the tutor.
This is literally 6 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, totally.
You have already found out, like, it's so, I didn't even understand what was going on with the prince. They're like, will he or won't he? And I was like, will he or won't he what?
Yeah. And you know what drove me crazy? You know what drove me fucking crazy? The real tutor never shows up.
Yeah.
I'm like, what in the sweet fuck?
Yeah.
Who gets the job of, I'm going to tutor the princess of Eldovia?
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know what? I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
Or ever
whatever.
Yeah. Who does that?
Anyway,
who does that? Very specific and weird.
I was waiting for the tutor to show up.
This is
going to
be crazy.
Like if you just walk into a place and they're like, "Oh, are you the janitor?" and you go, "Yes."
Which I always
the real
do.
I have never answered no to
Listen,
that question.
Casey, if someone asks if you're a janitor, you say, yes.
Yes. And then you see where the adventure takes you.
The real janitor is going to show up.
Yeah, and it's
coming to work.
A real comedy of errors, you would
got
expect.
Got his broom.
Want it yeah, back. Never becomes that movie.
No.
I assume because I tapped out eventually.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it sucks.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty funny bad for a bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's not that funny bad. And I feel like there's been maybe Netflix is being a little crafty and trying to create a
I don't like that
a bad
they did
movie.
That. I saw that Netflix America retweeted like that. Yeah. We saw that somebody watched
this movie this 53 movie, times. 50
times. No, 53 people have watched it. Every day for 18 days or something, which is right. is really weird.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Oh, who
if
hurt
that's
you?" Or
for
something.
Reals.
I'm like,
"Yeah, yeah, yeah."
You produced this, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a Netflix, and then it was like a Netflix movie. I'm like, "Oh,
yeah,
yeah."
I don't like that at all.
No,
I think because
it's
so like
you're manufacturing your own little
totally.
Fucking
yeah, and also don't be a dick.
Thing.
Somebody likes a movie. They like a movie. Like
yeah,
we
yeah,
think
yeah,
it's
somebody,
hilarious.
Somebody, whether you're going to be a dick about it or not, somebody made that. Movie.
Yeah, you hired them to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
why don't you go eat your own dick, you fucking animal?
Whoa. Whoa.
And have a Merry Christmas
to all in the country of Flamblavia or whatever.
And I mean, then like a bunch of dumb stuff happens. And I also, so she's going to be the tutor to the princess who's like a 12-year-old girl who has crutches. Like,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Arm brace crutches.
Yeah.
And like the movie was so poorly put together, and I was so mad at this movie for making me laugh.
Oh, nice.
When the camera turned around to her, because it's so like, dun, dun. And I was like, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm a bad person.
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. So you found very little entertainment in this movie until there was a young crippled girl.
Yeah, and then he was like, ah!
Which you thought
I
was quite hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know why I chuckled. And I was like, fuck! Fuck this movie for making me... Because it was like they're doing like a Tiny Tim thing, but it was so like... Look at this. We're doing it, you know.
No, it's...
I thought I might be an idiot for watching this movie. It was confirmed when I laughed at the girl with arm braces.
But it's like put... Yeah, it's...
It's really...
The movie really plays it up.
Yeah.
The reveal is pretty light.
It's just, yeah. And I had no idea it was coming. And I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And the cousin who's might be king, if he doesn't do it, he's a dick.
Oh,
and he
no.
teams up with the prince's ex-girlfriend. Yeah. And they're like, let's just fucking get him on. We'll do the thing. It's been great. And he's like, I don't know if I want to be king because I just want to have snowball fights and wear... beards and
don't like, we all
it's a dream of many.
Well, it's a difficult choice to make because when you become king, of course you give up snowballs and beards forever.
And for the only they keep trying to show like he's not actually a party animal. That's just what people think. He's just like a nice guy, and the only way that this movie can think of to show that is to have him have snowball fights. It happens more than once. That's like his thing, like, oh, I love it.
And he just straight up whips them in
people.
Ow, that one had gravel in it.
I wish that there had been like...
fuck you, I'm nice.
Yeah.
This is just a rock.
Yeah. I wish there had been a reveal of like...
we're having fun, asshole.
Yeah. Like there's all these shots
I'm
of him...
free.
There's all these shots of him like coming back from like his You know, he's like trying to smuggle himself back in with the beard, like all these like late nights and early mornings and shit. And I wish that there was just like a reveal of him like at 3 a.m. He's like, I was just out at all night snowball fight parties. I wasn't out drinking. Yeah.
And then he had to smuggle himself back in his beard.
Yeah.
So then she's still pretending to be the tutor and obviously falling in love with the prince. And then she's digging around for some info. And she, lo and behold, she figures out the prince was adopted.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. And then...
That's where he got that beard, I guess.
And and there's this weird scene where... So the king is dead, right? And like a year ago.
Yeah.
And he made a lot of handmade Christmas ornaments.
Yeah.
That they have on the tree and stuff like that. And one very nice acorn one that was going to be the gift for... his wife, the queen, this year, but then he died.
Yeah,
but she found the gift. Well, it's a nice acorn. But then, so like they have that they establish.
She found it and said, "Hey, nice acorn.
Hey, oh fuck, is this for me? I liked it anyway." So they, you know, they established. Oh, he a lot of handmade ornaments for him, and the cousin who wants to be king. He's like critiquing one. He's like, "This doesn't look like a moose. It looks like a bear."
Wow.
This guy hasn't been dead a year, and he's like, "This guy sucks at ornaments."
Yeah.
Anyway, that was weird. Yeah.
Your ornaments.
But the acorn comes back into it because now if the prince is adopted, he can't be king.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then you open the acorn, and there's a note and a new law decreed from the dead king yes, you can.
I'm having a difficult time.
I wish I had watched the end of this movie.
That's crazy. Right when you're going to be no the cousin's going to become king.
Yeah,
because everyone
found out, a second.
Everyone found out the prince is adopted, and they're about to put the crown on his head, and they do. Then it's like a marriage thing where he's about to put the crown, and he's like, "Unless anyone here has reason to,
you know." Like when they crown a real king. Yeah. Let him speak now or forever hold his peace.
Of course, now she's been outed as a reporter, but she's there with the acorn. She's like, "I hold everything. Open this acorn. There's a magic."
Hold on, everyone. There might be something in this acorn.
And they read it, and of course, it's like, "He can be king." And everyone's like, "Yay." And then they just throw the cousin away.
Get the fuck out of here.
And then they put the crown on the king's head, and he's like, "I now pronounce you king. And Merry Christmas, everyone." Like, literally.
It's Christmas.
I fell asleep for that scene, and Athena woke me up and made me rewind it.
Nice.
Like, you need to see this.
That's amazing. I wish I'd finished
it. And then, of course, he's king, and she goes back home, like, "Oh, he's a lying reporter."
Yeah, yeah.
But then he comes to find her at her working at her dad's restaurant, and he's like, "Come, I'll buy your father's restaurant and move it to Aldovia. We'll be together." You'll be the queen of fake England forever.
Of course, you'll have to work in the diner.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yes. It was. Yeah, listen, I guess in the retelling of it, it was a little more bonkers than.
Yeah.
That, but it's
pretty
funny. It's a dumb movie. But I had an okay time, I suppose.
Yeah.
It could have been dumber and weirder. But there was some dumb weird stuff in it.
Yeah, my favorite
your poster
thing
line.
Yeah. Was
could
there...
have been dumb and weirder. I mean, it was dumb and weird.
Yeah, I loved that. There's Greg a shot. There's a shot of her like writing these notes down about because she's trying to write an article or whatever.
Right.
And it's like there's one of those things where you see like for a split second the shot of her computer.
Yeah.
And somebody freeze framed it and put it on the internet, and her notes are just like ridiculous. So you gotta read these notes.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It's just Prince ? Why? Like it's like what's going on with him?
Yeah.
Beard ellipses.
Yeah.
Also she's like pretending to be the tutor, but she's also like, "I'm investigating."
Yeah.
And so she's just walking around and taking pictures and videos with her phone, but not discreetly at all. She's just like standing in her room, is like click, 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 yeah. Pictures of everything, pictures of him doing stuff, taking a video of him, like, "Oh, nothing. Sorry, I was just filming you from me over here."
And I better take this card out of my hat that says reporter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christmas Prince.
Christmas Prince.
Prince for Christmas, whatever it's called. Yeah. anything else before Film Roulette?
No.
Slash our punishment film and album reviews? Okay. Well, then we should get on over to Film Roulette. Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good and the low roller has to see the Punishment album and movie of the week. Punishment movie of the week. But the loser gets to give the winners a Punishment album to listen to for the rest of the week.
This week
it's a little different. We are postponing our review of The Shape of Water until we can all get to it after the Christmas break.
And it'll be doubled down with the big Star Wars episode.
Doubled down with
episode.
Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It's a hectic time of year.
It's crazy. But sick babies fuck everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I've been to the hospital twice again this week.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
That sucks. So we will talk about that movie eventually.
Just needed to get away for a little bit.
It's really nice there.
The beds recline. But we will talk about our Punishment movie, and we will review the Punishment album that was given to us by Casey, mm-hmm. which is by you too. Mm-hmm. So, I watched two things this week as Punishment. One of them will be more worth talking about than the other.
Oh.
But this guy, Colin Slater, directed two movies. The first in 2002 called Rhapsody Street Kids, Believe in Santa. This stars Nancy Cartwright, Clint Howard, Deborah Wilson, Mark Hamill, and a number of other voice talents in a movie that cost $500,000 to make and looks like they spent all of it on cocaine. because I showed you guys some clips of it.
Yeah.
I'll get some up here for while we're talking about it. But this is basically a weird thing that happened in 2002. And from what I've read and from what somebody has tweeted out about this movie,
mm-hmm.
Basically some guys had this idea for a movie and it was going to be this like wonderful Christmas film.
Holy shit.
And I just put it up on the screen.
Yeah.
And they
Whoa.
Had this great story.
Whoa.
And it's this wonderful story about a kid who has a bear that he's going to give to this girl that he likes. And she's like, fuck your bear. I hate it. And throws in the garbage, but then she realizes that that's not the meaning of Christmas, and so they have to find the bear and get it back and then save Christmas or something. Now, they wrote this story and got this company called Wolf Tracer to do the animation and then never checked back in on the animation until the show aired on television. So apparently this one guy put $500,000 into this thing. And then didn't realize that it was the ugliest garbage animation that
he had. Like, it's like if you went to learn, like at a community college, to learn how to be a computer animator.
Yeah.
And you had like a month or two to work on a 45-minute piece.
Yeah.
And you'd never made an animated movie before.
Yeah. And like you maybe had like a couple like 3D models that you could just put in there, you didn't change, and then but then you also tried to make your own and you went awry halfway through, and
it looks so fucking bad.
It's so bad. It is unbelievable, and it's so oddly paced. Like this scene that's going on right now is just a kid walking Whoa. Around forever. And then he kicks a ball.
Weirdly.
Yeah. And like nobody moves properly, like they can't.
A weird picture.
They can't move them, like they can't do legs and arms and everything at the same time.
No.
So it's like, you know, the most robotic looking movements.
What?
What is happening there?
The animation of the girl walking on screen was fucking ridiculous.
This is captivating.
Yeah. It is unreal.
Oh.
The way that when you watch this thing, it is fucking, it is unbelievable. You just you watch the whole 45 minutes or 20 or half an hour or whatever it is in disbelief the whole time. And not only is the animation so garbage and so bizarre and so ill-timed, the jokes and stuff also make like no sense. And nobody talks like a human being. And this kid has a sandwich forever.
For a head.
He's just constantly carrying a sandwich around.
And there's a sandwich glued to his hand.
And he's got, yeah, a weird scarf that doesn't look like a scarf. There's this emo kid guy, and these are like the bullies who have weird faces.
Oh, my God.
It's it's like nothing you have ever seen. Like the kid in this clip that we just watched picked something up, but they just like pasted it on top of his hand. He didn't pick anything up. Yeah. His hands didn't move.
No, you have to go look at this.
You have to. This aired on fucking television.
Did it?
Yeah. More than once, I believe, on like WB or Nickelodeon or something.
Amazing.
And I don't.
Where'd the money go? That must have been like for people who just turned on their television and were like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Everything's going downhill.
Yeah. Mark Hamill, I don't think, shows up until like right at the end. He plays like a couple dads. He plays like more than one dad character.
Guys, I can't stop watching
No.
this.
I want.
It's so interesting.
You need to watch the whole thing. It's,
whoa.
There's songs, and the songs are awful.
Yeah.
And the main kid raps a lot, and his raps are just like what you would think somebody who doesn't know anything about rap is like. I am a rapper, and I'm here to say that I like Christmas and yay, yay, yay.
Yeah.
like
it
never
good.
Ends the way you think it's going to end. Mm. It's unbelievable. And
does he have the sandwich for the whole movie because the scarf is covering his
he
mouth?
Loses
he loses
it. He loses it at one
sandwich.
Point. He loses the sandwich at
that
one point.
That teacher had some fucked up eyes.
Yeah.
They're bugging out of her head. Look at that. When she turns to the side, the eyeballs are like actually outside of the socket. Yeah. Mom, too, look at the eyeballs out of her head.
There's a grandma character played, I can't remember who plays it, possibly Deborah Wilson from Mad TV. And for some reason, the grandma doesn't say words. She goes, Christmas.
That's awesome.
It's all of her dialogue is unbelievable. Like it's just her. She mutters, and I don't understand what the joke is. If it's like she's old and she doesn't know how to talk anymore, or if there's like a weird racial thing going on with the grandma.
Maybe they just fucked the audio.
Or no, because you can tell that it's performed that way.
Right.
She's going like. Like I don't understand it. Right. Some wonderful dancing on the screen right now. This is a character that hates the teddy bear at first and doesn't believe in Santa, but now she's singing about how she wants to believe in Santa.
Well, am I to believe that this character is 8 years old or 18?
I don't know. She's definitely one of the older characters. You cannot believe how bad this thing is until you watch it.
No, it is mesmerizing. Though.
It was tough.
I know we tell really you tough. Listeners to like look at stuff now and again, but look at this.
Yeah, Rhapsody Street Kids Believe in Santa. Rhapsody is spelled R-A-P-S-I-T-T-I-E. It'll be in the episode
Holy
title.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
What's the other movie like?
Is made by the same guy. It's called...
And Mark Hamill's in that too.
And Mark Hamill's in that as well.
Was it made
after? Did he just use like discarded dialogue from this
No,
or
I
something.
Wish.
How did he get Mark Hamill to do it again?
So, I don't know. I guess Mark Hamill just do it. I'm wondering if the money...
Yeah, why do you think that Mark Hamill, just because he's in the Star Wars movies now, doesn't mean there wasn't some lean
But years. His voice acting career is quite reputable.
Yeah.
I guess, he's been doing that for years.
For years.
I feel like if a nice enough person asked him and had, like, enough money, I guess... You know,
yeah, I feel like Mark Hamill is just the nicest human being in the world, and he doesn't want to say no.
Sure.
What's her name? The who's Bart again?
Nancy Cartwright.
Nancy Cartwright. So she's a Scientologist.
Yes.
But she produced the first one, and that's weird. But I don't. I'm wondering if the reason why like
What's
Nancy
inside
Cartwright
their mouths
nothing.
One big tooth
yeah I'm wondering if like did all the money go to the voices and then they were like now we have $10 for animation
they were like we have $1 million let's give it to the voice guys how much does animation cost like $8
yeah here's the thing though Wolf Tracer's Dinosaur Island the other special that they made I believe a year or two later. First off, at the end of the Christmas one, at the end of the credits, one of the kids goes like, "Don't forget to watch me in the Easter special." Never happened.
Oh, great. There's quite an action scene going on here.
Yeah.
This is fucking crazy.
Here's the thing about Dinosaur Island.
Yep.
They're trying harder. They've improved the animation slightly. Like we saw a shot earlier of like the water and they're trying.
They're really into zooms here.
Yeah. They're overreaching on style. The the dialogue and the jokes in this actually resemble, like, you, like, when somebody makes a joke, you're like, I understand why you thought that was funny.
Right. Right.
Whereas in Rhapsody Kids, you're like, who beamed this script down from Mars? So in a way, Dinosaur Island is like slightly better. It's like, right, they're trying a little harder. It looks a little better. It still looks like shit, but like it makes a little more sense. But in that way, it's also like way worse because it's not, it doesn't have, now that you've seen Rhapsody Street Kids Believe in Santa,
yeah,
and you understand that it's like really like looks terrible and it, you, yeah, don't understand it. Now you're watching like a slightly better version that's not as what the fuck.
Yeah.
It's still what the fuck.
It is totally what the fuck. I'm
but
looking at it.
There is an element of like, well, this is worse because it's not as mind-blowingly bad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Even if it is just a slight,
yeah, it's a, like their eyeballs seem to be in their heads.
Yeah.
When they
and
turn
it's like
the side now.
Yeah. It's just terrible, and yeah, it's unbelievable. It's like the weird outsider.
Wait, no, never mind.
Yeah,
her eyeballs were not inside her head.
Yeah, both of them have to be seen to be believed.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Human beings' bodies can't do what that person just did.
No.
But I don't understand how this one got made. If the first one was such a fucking calamity, yeah, like who is like, yeah, let's do more of these? And is this movie self-aware now? Is it like,
yeah,
no,
Tommy Wiseau going, oh, yeah, I knew it was a comedy.
I think it was
wow,
like, yeah. See, they're really trying at the, like the action scenes
crazy
here.
Crazy.
I think it was more like, I own this company. I could just do this anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if this one aired on TV. This might have just been,
I'm
something
wager
they put
no
out on DVD or something. Yeah.
God damn, look at that.
It's wonderful.
Holy fuck.
It, you honestly, you ooh, guys should watch the Christmas one.
Look
with
at their little legs.
With volume.
Oh, no.
He got picked
he
up by a dinosaur.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. They are very special, and I love them in a very weird way.
Yeah.
It's delightful.
Oh, my God. This
absolutely
is
delightful. See, like, they're trying here with some action stuff.
No, this is fabulous. Holy shit.
Yeah, you gotta see both of these.
I'm gonna watch these on vacation.
Rhapsody Street Kids Believe
yeah,
in Santa,
man,
in particular. Check it out. It's on okay YouTube. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
He's walking in the air.
Yeah, yeah. He's kicking his legs. I didn't realize that this was
no,
uploaded
he was walking
by the director, and now I want to see what else is on his station.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a music manager now, it looks like.
Oh, nice.
And these look like really weird videos that he's uploaded. Cool.
Great.
So Rhapsody, Street Kids, and Wolf Tracer's Dinosaur Island
yeah
are unbelievable.
Yes.
Oh, you know what I completely forgot to ask you guys about?
What?
Going back to our discussion on the Disaster Artist,
mm-hmm,
which I never still have yet to see.
Yeah.
But a longtime hero of ours on this show and on Time Bandits as well, David Dakota is in the Disaster Artist playing himself.
Oh really?
Is he? Yeah. And I thought you guys, I didn't know if they made a point of
no, it doesn't come up like
no,
that's
I
Dave
don't,
Dakota.
Yeah. I'm going to Google.
Or if it did, I missed it. But yeah, no.
David Dakota Disasters. Yeah, I didn't know that he was in it. It just says that he's in it. I don't know if.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just says on IMDb that he's in it playing himself.
Huh. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
no going
to have to read up about that.
Yeah.
Celebrity cameos include David Dakota. Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Maybe it was like somebody like...
Maybe he's in the audience yeah when they screen it or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
No wow one knows. It's a mystery.
Yeah. It's you certainly can't ask anyone.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Do you know what else is a mystery?
What?
The new U2 album.
Hmm.
This is an album that we had to listen to at the hands of Casey,
mm-hmm,
who lost last week.
Right.
I used my hands to make you
yeah listen. Songs of Experience, the 14th album by U2.
Yeah.
This was the is the sequel to their previous album, Songs of Innocence. They
yeah
had this kind
that's
of thing.
The one that they made everyone have on their phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were going to apparently release them pretty close back to back.
Yeah, but everyone hated that so much.
They were like, we'll wait a little while.
Yeah,
we'll give you some time.
Who knows?
Produced by a number of people.
Mm-hmm.
Big,
we'll
long
we'll wait
list
till their hate of the first one dies down before we let them eat this one.
Yeah. apparently, they reassessed the tone of the album in the process of making it, and Bono rewrote his lyrics to be more political.
Did he?
So, Casey, you saw that you saw them play this on SNL, and that's why part of the reason why he gave it to us.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, you know, they're awful. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to see what the decline, what was going on with the decline of YouTube. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I saw them on Saturday Night Live doing this, you know, bullshit megaphone nonsense.
Yeah, and, rock and roll,
being
American
like
soul.
A rock and roll
yeah.
band.
That, I figured that was the song.
I'm rock and roll. You rock and roll.
Me?
Let's all rock and roll.
Me, Bono?
I'm 60.
Yeah.
Yep. So
this album,
I feel like I'm gonna have some verbal diarrhea here and probably
go
talk for
it.
A long time. So what did you think of this day?
I didn't like it. I don't like U2, and this to me sounded like U2 like the trying a like I do feel like there's a little bit of like let's get back to the rock and roll, like some of it is a little bit trying to be post-punky, some of it is a little bit riffy. So like there's a weird kind of back to basics sound to some of it, and then others it's like no, you're going for the pop songs and you're going for like the ballads.
Yeah, like now.
And the
let's
big,
make it sound like now.
Yeah, and then elsewhere they're like let's do the kind of overwrought ballad thing.
I thought this album was like okay. Mm-hmm. Like if heard someone else do it, it wouldn't really be news or anything, but it's U2, so it's bigger.
Yeah.
And it's just like all these songs are like fine.
Yeah.
It's not as grating and a huge misstep that the last one was, or like that Get On Your Boots song from years ago. It's not, there's nothing as like fucking horrible,
especially
as that.
Musically. It's
but
like,
it's all
whatever.
But it's just all like, it's just fucking lukewarm nothing. It's just, and the lyrics are fucking garbage.
The lyrics are the worst part of the album.
Yeah, they're really lame, and there's everything is way, there's don't get out of your own
wet,
way, little things that give you a way. Love is bigger than anything in its way. Like, what the
get
fuck,
out of
man?
Your own way, you're the best thing about me.
And there's all these songs with way in the title and love, love, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's just a huge bummer. And it's so boring. And I used to love this band. I was very, very into U2 in my teens and very early 20s, I guess.
Well,
trying real hard to hang on to them as things progressed, but. And, you know, I liked this band a lot, and my friends didn't, and I think that made me, like it more.
You're like, well, fuck you. Like,
yeah, exactly.
No, they are good. Like,
yeah. And they were really good. Like, if U2 had just called it a day after Zooropa, their whole view of what they are to people would be different.
Yeah.
But even there are, like, even when they started their decline, which was that pop album.
Yes,
that was when they
time.
Started their decline.
Yeah.
That album has a couple of fun things to listen to on it.
Sure.
And then that All That You Can't Live Behind album has a couple things on it where I'm like, I legitimately love this song.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the a lot of that album is just some straight up bull crap.
Yeah.
But their decline has had a bright spot or two, and then those bright spots just faded.
They went away. Like, I haven't given a fuck about a U2 album since 1993.
Yeah.
You know, I tried when Pop came out. I'm like, yay. And then I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. But I think
you know,
there are a couple things on that. I didn't care much for most of Zooropa, I think. But.
Well, and here's my hot take. Zooropa has aged better than Octoon Baby. I think Zooropa might even be better as an album in general. It has a couple of duds on side one, but side two is pretty strong. And there's some like really creative, good bass work on it that gets overlooked because with all the other shit, Adam Clayton's a very good bass player. And I feel like Octoon Baby was a terrific album at its time and like reshaped the band. Probably for the worse, though, because I feel like they were then going to chase this image thing they put together for the whole Zoo TV, and it just spiraled them out of control. They never came back from it. But Octoon Baby, I think, is just too stuck in time. It's so 1991, and it'll never be anything else. Like, for me anyway, maybe other people feel other ways. I think some of the songs are fine and good. Like, the Love Is Blindness is terrific, you know, but I think Zeropa maybe has things on it that sound better now than anything on Octave maybe does.
Okay.
And I like the run from 1980 to 87 is pretty spotless. Like, it's really good. I mean, you got to be into it a bit, but very, very nice stuff.
But even if it's not spotless, the shitty ones aren't shitty for the same reasons.
No.
Like,
Yeah, and there's this thing that, like, there's an earnesty, and, like, I believe them.
Yeah.
In those years, I believe this band and what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, I want to be popular. If they just made a fucking age-appropriate album, it might be nice.
Yeah.
You know, there's some fucking dignity in aging.
Yeah.
Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Stop trying to write jingles for teenagers, you fucking weirdos.
Oh, that is the worst thing about it.
It's so gross. Like, you're 60, dude. And you can do it. You can age into music. People can do it. They've been doing it forever.
You have a zillion dollars. Yeah. Stop trying to, we're going to start a revolution for all you kids, man.
Yeah, fuck off, man. No, the ego and everything that went so out of control, because they got to the whole 80s were like a buildup of their reputation and how much people adored them and awards and adulation. So by the time we get to 91 and they pull off the image switch and it works, like, the ego go out of control. All four of those guys lost their minds, and
we can do anything.
And the way they talk about their band is so gross.
Yeah.
You write fucking jingles.
Yeah.
but they did write I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
They wrote
really
good songs.
Blue Sky. Like,
there were some really good lyrics back in the day, you know?
But also just melodies that you're just like, melodies and that are accented and punctuated by amazing musicianship, brilliant ideas.
Yeah.
And you're just like, these songs came together. These people pulled these songs together, and it's almost otherworldly. Like, there's things that you two have done where you're just like, holy shit, like, this is a union that was meant to be.
Yeah. It's one of the best rhythm sections any band has ever had.
And all of this soaring stuff, and then like, to what they become now, it's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I mean, you look at it, I mean, pop in 97, I mean, we're talking 20 years of not good. And when you put it in the scope, too, like 80 to 87, great. Then you have Rattle and Helm, which people are like, no thanks.
Yeah.
And then, like, it'll pop up again, and then 20 years of ego garbage.
It feels like that, and it also feels like Songs of Experience is, you know, again, like, I feel like they're trying to do a back to basics approach album.
But don't do that. No, that never works.
I know.
Likes that. It always fucks up. It sounds like garbage.
Make
just write
album.
Songs like 60-year-olds, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I really don't like that single, like, We're Rock and Roll and Looking for American Soul. Like, it's just fucking bullshit.
Yeah,
like, why
is.
Can't, like, he you write, like, I feel like that,
well, they
song
sound like assholes.
Yeah. That song Landlady, I feel like, is their attempt to be like, I'm gonna write a song about my wife or whatever when I come home and she's the one that grounds me. But but even that's done in like a pompous, weird way.
Yeah, and it all feels forced and phony.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like, maybe they should fucking, like, I do kind of think that you two could write an album that tackled their career of, like, we got so big and then we tried to change it up and then we got so full of ourselves. Like, you could write an album about, like, looking at that veneer you've put up and trying to, like, parse it and turn that into, like, a song. Like, that could be interesting.
And maybe the honesty of that could pull a decent melody out of them.
Yeah.
But it's for as many places as his voice goes, it's just tuneless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it sucks.
Yeah.
What I will do for our Patreon folks.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone has interest in this, but I did it anyway. But I'm going to post it in our Slack channel. I put together, like, a little fairly short playlist.
Oh, fucking A.
Of why I think this band didn't always suck.
Amazing.
I'm disappointed.
I want that.
I'm disappointed that you said the word list, because I was pretty sure you put together a little play.
A play, yeah. I play all the
play
parts.
And I filmed it in my room.
Yeah.
We should put that up on Patreon.
Yeah, there are zero hits on this playlist.
Amazing.
And nothing on the playlist is after 1993.
Yeah.
And very little of it is from 88 to 93.
Amazing. I want that. I want to listen
to it.
Yeah,
check it out. I've only heard maybe bits, you still don't like U2, but this is why I think this band was at one point at least quite worthwhile.
Yeah. And to the Slack listeners, on that note, I think that's a really good idea. Do you want more playlist stuff in the Patreon posts? Because I think that that could be something that we could all do something.
Yeah. Well, I've also got my best of 2017 playlist ready to go, too. Yeah. So that'll come
if
out
there's any.
I haven't heard any songs in 2017.
Yeah. Well, you will. You can listen to my playlist. Oh, listen, right. It's super good.
Yeah,
but
good
I
year
will
for
make
music.
You all a fucking Elvis Costello.
That's what I mean.
This,
like,
that's all
I if
know.
There's any artists, if people listening that are in the Slack get in there, if there's any artists that you like are interested in that you think maybe one of us would be able to make a playlist, I would love to have Casey's Spotify playlist of Costello songs.
Make a list.
Yeah.
You'd be lucky to have it. I'll make you a friggin'. You know what I'll do? I'll make you a friggin' Dead Milkmen playlist.
Nice. I want that too.
You'll find oddly touching.
Mm-hmm.
Wicked. So that's the album Songs of Experience.
Right.
Now I get to give you guys my album.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited about it.
Oh, God.
I've given you guys an album that you're going to have to listen to on YouTube.
Oh, that's convenient.
Much like most of the albums you give us, you fucking weirdo.
Yeah, this. Oh man, so I'm giving you guys an album. It's called Alien Kids.
Oh.
Okay.
See if I can bring it up here on.
Was it a rap album?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it, kind of. My mind didn't go to rap because it's...
I just saw that starting to get pre-populated.
Yeah.
In your
so, here. Songs about life on the planet Glumph by the Alien Kids.
Well, they look like... He looks like a little rapper. He's got his... Yeah.
Just a note. There is a special message on the CD for the kids of Earth.
This is a wonderful album.
Oh.
That I can't wait for you to hear. I'm playing
it. Oh, man.
For these guys, it's like somebody's dad had a Casio keyboard and was like, I can make an album, and then did.
And he was right.
This has songs like My Best Friend is an Alien Who Visits Me at Night. The second song.
Whoa. Suddenly the whole, it was made by a dad.
Yeah.
Who Visits Me at Night is in brackets.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. The second song,
Alien
Food.
Who Visits Me at Night and tells me not to tell anyone.
I can't wait till you hear Alien Food.
Hmm.
How to Make Alien Fries. If the second song, Alien Food, wasn't enough.
How to Make Alien Fries is 7 minutes long.
No,
one of these songs is eight. Oh, I see. No, that's when they land. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. I was about to freak out. I'm like, 18-minute song.
These will
How
feel
to Make
right
Alien out. Ice Cream.
It's a real concept album.
Oh,
Alien
man.
Schools.
It's like a King Crimson album.
Yeah. Alien Schools, bracket, How Alien Kids Develop Super Brains.
Holy shit.
And an alien song in their own language, Glumfish. And then finally, the final track, How to Make an Alien Burger.
There's a lot of food on here.
Yeah.
So, listen, can we follow any of these instructions in these songs and actually try and make some of this
maybe
food?
We I don't know.
Yeah, is it like murder an alien?
Grind up their body. Up.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I like
if there's followable instructions, I will bring food to you guys.
Okay. I will bring all of the ingredients necessary. You know what I like about the description of this is that it says like alien kids and then avant-garde.
Abstract hip-hop, children's music.
Very good.
Yeah, see, the thing is, when I forgot that it was called Alien Rap, because in my note, I listened to a large amount of this album and was like, I can't wait to give this to you, and made the note and the link, but I forgot that it was called Alien Rap, but you guys heard that. That was not really rap.
No, that was...
It's a lot of very repetitive...
That was a stoned idiot talking.
And then I went to my space.
Hey, what's that over there that says... An artist called Viper, that song is called You'll Cowards Don't Even Smoke Crack.
I don't know, but I want to hear it.
Yeah, check it out. Click on it.
We'll do that after.
All right.
Yeah. But Alien Rap, Songs About Life on the Planet, Glumph by the Alien Kids. There is a special message on this CD for the kids of Earth.
What is it?
You'll have. Know. There is a song called...
Special Message for Kids on
the
Earth?
The Great Message.
Oh, okay. There you go.
It's about how they became peaceful. Oh. Yeah. Xenu.
Okay.
So there you go.
There you go.
I can't wait for you to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
There and we I can't go. Wait to listen to You Old Cowards Don't Even Smoke Crack after we record. So let's get to our rolling for the punishment.
Okay.
Casey, behind you on that shelf somewhere is the Roll-O-Matic. It's on the bottom one there. So no winning.
First, dickholes.
No winning this week. It's a double loser.
Yep.
You have to watch Battle of the Bulbs from 2010.
Has the best poster tagline ever.
Two-hour movie.
And then you look it up. This movie's an hour and a half.
Yeah. So starring Daniel Stern and Matt Frewer.
Yep.
This looks unbelievable.
Yep.
The cover is just amazing.
Two-hour movie.
That's the tagline. We're not
That's
lying.
All I was looking for. I do not care for content.
So you'll have to watch that from 2010.
Yes.
And 4 years later, Naughty and Nice.
Right.
Starring Hayley Duff.
I want to read the synopsis that I pulled off of the Netflix. There it is.
For Naughty and Nice.
For Naughty and Nice, because I thought it was more clear to what we're going to watch here. A cynical big city radio DJ goes to small town Colorado to co-host a local show with an optimistic love doctor who revives his career and his heart.
Yeah.
Oh, my
there
God.
There you go.
Well, at least it's about something as relevant as a radio host.
Yes. Love Doctor.
So Battle of the Bulbs and Naughty and Nice.
Yeah, double down.
Double down on the bad Christmas movies for the loser.
All right.
And then we all get to go see Star Wars.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Over the Christmas break. Casey's rolling in the Roll-O-Matic.
Are you dickheads ready?
No.
No.
Nine.
Ooh.
Nice.
Rolling.
Dan, I saw what you did.
What's that?
It's a zero. Oh, holy man. Shit. God, what?
All right. Nine.
Nine.
Ninth. Oh, man.
Oh, fuck.
Greg's got to watch 2 hour movie and Naughty and Nice.
Yeah.
And Star Wars.
Oh, my God.
And Star Wars.
Yeah. All right.
And you can watch these in chunks.
What else I can do? I can watch them in Jamaica.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going
the
day after tomorrow.
You don't have to.
No.
Like, you don't have to go all the way to Jamaica to watch them.
Yeah. No, that's the only place they're showing. That's how committed I am to this show.
Yeah.
I'm flying to Jamaica to
watch
these two movies.
They're showing in a theater there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go buy the DVDs there. Yeah. I'm sure they have them.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. So next week, it's Battle of the Bulbs and Naughty and Nice.
Well,
and we
week.
Will
that's
find out
eventually.
What the message is for Kids of Earth from the Alien Rap crew.
Yeah.
As always, please let us know what you think of the show, info@modernsuperior.com. Please rate and review us on iTunes. And we have our after show on the Patreon. You'll hear that if you're a subscriber. And we will have some stuff going up over the break. Might have to throw maybe some throwback content up there for our Patreons.
Let's talk.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
For a week.
Yeah.
And it's Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And Boxing Week. I guess sometime Boxing Week we'll be back.
Yeah.
It might not be on a Wednesday. Maybe we'll just squeak one in that it comes out on a different day so we can get a show out there for you.
Yeah.
We'll have something back and we'll talk about Star Wars and all these fucking things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
Okay.
Good. So we will be back.
Yeah.
And we'll have stuff in the meantime.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the meantime. Have yourselves a merry little Christmas.
Yeah. Okay, as always, we will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet. And there's a ghost at the end of Christmas safe haven.
What?
Bye.
Merry Christmas, bye.
This episode has been brought to you by the Modern Superior Podcast Network.